out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 16th of July 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And we're broadcasting on our Radio Arian stream. Yes, I am sure most of you have noticed that the RadioArian.com site is down. I'd actually been waiting for that to happen for about the last 5 years because our security was actually being provided for us by Google. Yes, we've been using the Google firewall, Google's DDoS protection, and Google's hosting all for free for the last 5 years. So it's not really any surprise to me that they have finally taken us down. We do have a backup plan. We've always had a backup plan, and we will be back with a new site within a couple of days. Don't worry, all the old stuff will still be there. I took a backup on Friday, actually, thanks to Anglo Falcon, who dropped an article into the chat room from Gizmodo. Basically, this article from Gizmodo was just listing all the people that they didn't like what they said and explaining that they were putting pressure on the hosting companies where these various people had websites in order to get them to censor them, basically, get them to silence them, all because Gizmodo don't like what somebody else is saying on a website that's got nothing to do with them. I mean, how nosy and bigoted can you get than wanting to silence people on their own website? You know, nobody is making comments on Gizmodo or anything like that. I mean, you could understand them getting a little bit annoyed if people were invading their websites and saying things that they disagree with and running them down, but that isn't what's happening. You know, we have our own websites where we talk to our own people, and that's not allowed, apparently. That's we can't have that. We can't have people having a private conversation amongst themselves, which is essentially what it is. You're on your own website. It's not like it's been put about everywhere around the internet. It's all located within one website. White people talking to other white people, and they just can't handle it. They have to censor it. I do hope Donald Trump does something about this, because it is really alarming when you think about it. It's effectively the company that owns the typewriters saying you can't use our typewriters to type with, or a company that makes paper saying you can't use our paper to write upon, which is ridiculous. It's like saying, well, people whose politics we don't like, we should just remove all services from them. It goes totally against all freedom of responsibility and responsibility for your own actions. The email that was sent to me about this, I mean, that was pretty bizarre as well. Their reasoning for shutting the site down was just hate, nothing else. And that was written in capitals as well. Reason for shutting site down, hate. I mean, somebody hates us. We hate somebody. That's just an emotion. That's not a reason for shutting a site down, is it? And it really shows that they're not actually even capable of elucidating what the reason is. They just don't like us, basically. They'd be very hard to find any hatred expressed towards anybody apart from the devil on the website. We've been accused of a lot of nonsense in the press. We've been accused of wanting the extermination of Jews. We've had Grandpa Lampshade being accused of saying that to put things right, it's going to take a whole lot of killing. And it's all a pack of lies. All a pack of lies. We've never said that the Jews should be exterminated. We said that they perform a role, a necessary role. If they weren't here, we wouldn't be able to promote our virtue. Grandpa Lampshade never said we can't fix this without a whole lot of killing. He said he foresees in the future there being a whole lot of killing if things aren't done to separate us. And the whole lot of killing would be the whole lot of killing of white people. I mean, this stuff that they put in the newspapers is just such a pack of lies, and they all repeat it from one another. And then they go to these hosting companies and they say, look what these people have said. And instead of investigating that for themselves, these hosting companies, they just say, well, we can't have that. We'll just shut them down straight away. Well, of course, Radio Erin doesn't keep all its eggs in one basket. So all our podcasts are still up there. Our chat room is still up there. Our stream is still up there. And if you check out my Gab account, which is at Sven Longshanks, all one word, lowercase, today's articles will be posted on there, along with the images for them, along with the links for them to the podcast, so that you can still download them. Everyone can still check out the radio. Just tune into the same link location as you always do. And we should be back up within a few days. The longest it will take is a week. The only thing that was actually on the blogger site is basically the articles and then the link addresses. And as I say, they've all been backed up. So all that needs to be done is to upload them again to a new site, which really shouldn't take that long. It's just really a matter of administration. And we have had people offering to do this for us for quite some time. And I just thought, well, we'll just wait and wait until we actually have to. It's not going to be an issue to change things over. Right, so let's get into this article that I've got for us today then. And shock, horror, what a surprise. There are more black, Asian and minority ethnic youths in young offender institutions and secure units than white people for the first time, according to government figures. And of course, straight away there is obfuscation. There really isn't that many Asians, Chinese, in prison. The majority of these minorities that are in prison are black and Pakistani. And that's because they have a much higher propensity for criminality than white people do, the same as they have a much higher propensity for sexual abuse, as we saw yesterday. And that's even when they're doctors, that's even when they're medical experts, they have a higher propensity for sexual abuse. And when they're not medical experts and probably of a lower IQ and a lower education, then they're far more likely to engage in violent crime. So the solution to this should be to say to them, either you buck your ideas up or you get out. But that's not what is said to them, obviously. It's the white man that is blamed for the black criminality. The announcement comes as a Labour MP said that jurors favoured white middle-class defendants. Lucy Powell, MP for Manchester Central, made her comments after two schoolboys were acquitted of all charges in connection with the death of Yusef Mackey, 17, a fellow pupil. She said, "You do have to ask if these defendants were black at state school and from, say, Moss Side, whether they would have been acquitted." Well, they were black. They were non-white. They weren't actually white from what I could see of it. I don't know where she got the idea that they weren't black from. Maybe she's thinking that people that are brown are somehow European. And is she really saying that these juries in places like Birmingham, which is where this happened, that are going to be 60 or 70% brown, that they favour white middle-class defendants? Is she saying that judges somehow are favouring white people? Don't forget that the judges have all been given an order that they have to get the number of young black criminals in prison down. And if they've been charged with anything, The judge has to bear in mind that they might have been victims of racism at some time or another, and that might have encouraged them on a criminal life, and therefore they should not give them a prison sentence. So these numbers are already weighted in favour of blacks, and yet she still thinks that this is something to do with juries, this is something to do with judges somehow favouring white people, when they quite clearly are not favouring white people. This is down to the criminality of the non-whites. And to prove that, all you have to do is look at every single country that has non-whites in and look at the crime rates, including the countries of their origin, where they can't claim that it's racism that's putting them in prison. How can they claim that it's racism that's putting them in prison in South Africa when it's a black administration? And yet the crime rate for South Africa is the highest in the entire world. And yet you can't say that there's any racism there. That in fact, they've made a big point of fighting against racism and having quotas so that you can't have a certain number of white people at the job. It's got to be blacks there. They've got quotas for in the prisons as well to try and go harsh on the white people rather than the blacks. And yet they still have the highest murder rate, highest rape rate, highest violent crime rate in the world. That's because they have a propensity for crime, and they always have. All you have to do is look back at the reports of what the explorers found when they were in Africa, as I was talking about on Aryan Britannia, this great geneticist that pointed out that they were just lazy savages, basically. And that came from the reports of the people that were in Africa. And there's plenty of reports of them thieving as well, of them not having the same ideas that we have about thieving. They look at it differently. If they can get away with taking something when that's not theirs, that, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's the white man's law that tells them that they're wrong for doing that. They've never had an African law that tells them that they're wrong for doing that. Obviously, the person they've stolen off might want to thump them one, but they've never seen it as that somehow being harmful to society. That what they're actually doing is taking from society there, which is what the white man's law is based upon. We say that if somebody commits a crime, they're committing it against all of us, not just against the individual. And that is the big difference in the way that blacks look at the law and the way that whites look at the law, which is why they don't think they should have to obey it. And we don't tell them they should have to obey it. We say, well, it must just be the whites that are picking on you, because surely you mustn't be committing any more crimes than the white people. That can't be possible at all. After all, we're all the same, aren't we? Never mind the fact that they look, smell and sound completely different to us. Ministry of Justice figures show that in May, there were 415 black, Asian and minority young people in custody in England and Wales, compared with 396 white young people, or 51% to 48%, with 1% not known. Well, I wonder what that not known is. I guess that must be some kind of mulatto there, some half-caste that wasn't quite sure what he is. But when you think of the percentages of whites to blacks, I mean, the blacks are only about 10% of the population. If you add non-whites as well, you say non-whites and blacks, all of them lumped in, about 15% of the population. Yet they're making up 51% of the young people in custody. This is youngsters that are doing this. When have we ever had a problem with white young people being put in prison? Young white people never used to want to get involved in crime, not until we had diversity foisted upon us, and they learned that if they didn't start fighting back, they were going to be turned into victims by these newcomers. We never used to have a problem with youth crime in Britain, and now we've got this big problem with black criminals, young black criminals. And what are the experts saying about it? Well, we've got Sadiq Khan saying that we just need to spend more money on them. They need more ping pong tables, more table football. That will stop them committing crimes. And they've tried all this in America. They've spent a fortune on blacks to try and stop them from committing crimes, and it never works. It doesn't work. The only way to stop them committing crimes is to have a really, really strict police force that is obviously there that will clamp down on it, which is pretty much what they had in the apartheid era in South Africa. Because they're not very good at abstract thought. They're not very good at thinking about the consequences of their actions. If they're not immediately punished for doing something, then the punishment just doesn't really seem like it's there to them. They can be chased up 6 months later, and you know they really don't see why they should be being punished, because they did the crime, they weren't punished at the time. So why are they being punished now? It doesn't make sense to them. So you have to have a very strict regime and an immediate punishment, and that's what they learned in America. That's why they were lynching blacks when they committed violent crimes, because the rest of them had to see that the person would be punished for raping and killing white people. He was being punished. He was being punished straight away. And they had to be seen to be being punished in order to deter them. Obviously, the best way to solve this crime is to just segregate us from them. And then we wouldn't have to put up with their crimes, and they wouldn't have to put up with our alleged racism. If we were racist, we wouldn't even be commissioning reports like this, and we wouldn't even have people saying, well, it must be the white man's fault. If we were genuinely racist, we wouldn't be having any of this. We wouldn't be paying any attention to them whatsoever, which, of course, is not what's happening. We've got diversity quotas. We're being told we have to replace as many white people with blacks in television, in boardrooms, in government, in university. We're being told that our ancestors were all racist. I mean, if they're thinking that the great scientists, the great European scientists, were horrible racists, just think how much they hate the European peasants, the people that weren't scientists. Everything is about hating the white man. It's not the white man that hates these other races. It's the other races that hate us. It was the first time the monthly youth custody figures had shown a higher number of black and minority ethnic under 18s than whites in young offender institutions, secure training centres, and secure children's homes. The 2011 census from the Office for National Statistics showed that 20% of the under 18s in Britain were not white. So they are three times more likely to commit serious crimes and be put in young offender institutions than white people. That means you are three times more at risk from a young black male than you are from a young white male. And I think you'll find that the black females are also just as likely to commit crime. They don't actually break this down by gender, but I'm sure I remember reading somewhere that they were just as likely to commit crime as the males, which of course is a big difference from white people, where the females of the white race only commit about 2% as much crime as white males do. Pippa Goodfellow, director of the Standing Committee for Youth Justice, said, "The latest youth custody statistics are a cause of great concern, as they demonstrate the sheer extent to which the criminal justice system is disproportionately propelling black and minority ethnic children into prison." No, that's not what the cause of great concern is. The cause of great concern is that these numbers demonstrate the sheer extent of crime and criminal activity that is being carried out by young black males. Three times as much as whites. And the amount of money that is being spent on that and being spent on trying to rehabilitate them, trying to put them in prison. That means if they weren't here, we would have three times less expense and three times less crime going on that was being carried out by young people. That's what the concern is. The concern isn't that there are nasty, racist white people putting blacks into prison, because that just isn't true. In the past 10 years, the number of under 18s in custody has fallen from about 2,900 to just under 800 in May, as part of a government policy to reduce numbers by diverting youngsters away from the formal justice system. See, so even though there are all these programs to reduce the number of blacks in prison, there's still three times as many there. So you can't say that this is because there's a bias in the system, because it's just explained there that there's been a big drive to reduce these numbers. However, the figures show the proportion of whites in custody has fallen at a greater rate than for black and minority ethnic young people. What does that say then? Well, that says that young whites are committing crimes less than blacks. That's what that says. If young whites are going into custody at less of a rate than blacks, it means they're committing crimes at less of a rate. Either that, or you're saying that the criminal justice system is completely at fault, and it's locking up totally innocent black people and letting off criminal whites. And I don't recall there ever being an investigation showing that the criminal justice system keeps making mistakes in all of these cases. So how can they say that's what is the cause of this, when logically the cause of this is because one group is committing more crime than the other group? A Ministry of Justice spokesman said the issues that lead to black, Asian and ethnic minority children being overrepresented in youth custody begin long before they enter the criminal justice system. Yeah, I would agree with that. The issues are the fact that they have a low IQ and they're far more prone to criminal activity. That's why. They say, which is why work is underway across the system and elsewhere in government to address these deeply rooted problems. Well, how do you address the deeply rooted hereditary problem of a low IQ? Well, you can't, because it's hereditary. You can't change these people into being white people, because they're not white people. What we would call a deeply rooted problem, they wouldn't call that a problem. They wouldn't call it a problem that they have this criminal behavior and these low IQs. In actual fact, they are often very, very, very proud of themselves and have a much higher opinion of themselves than somebody else would. I mean, most people with a high IQ, they tend to be very humble. They have a low opinion of themselves, whereas blacks have a much higher, very much inflated opinion of themselves. And this has been shown in psychology tests. And we're just making them feel even more important here by saying we're going to put all this money into this, we're going to do all this work into getting the number of blacks down in youth custody, these problems that are causing this. And of course, what they mean is racism. That's what they mean. Racism and these youths haven't been given enough. You know, I was never given anything when I was a youth. And if you look back at the working class places where young working class lads used to live, white working class, they had nothing. They would be playing football in the street, and the street wouldn't even have any tarmac. It would just be mud. They'd be kicking a ball around in the mud. That was all they had. And there was no crime. And you look at these young blacks now, they've got their pirate radio stations, they've got their skate parks, they've got their youth clubs. They got everything being handed to them on a plate, and you just got this massive increase in knife crime. It doesn't matter how much money you give them. You can't change them from being what they are. And we have to face up to what they are. We have to face up to reality, because if we build everything on a lie, which is what we've done, the situation just gets worse and worse, which is what we're seeing. This is why this crime rate keeps increasing, and why the police can only solve 5% of all crimes now, because we're suffocating under a tsunami of black crime. They say, we have been working to improve black, Asian and ethnic minority children's understanding of legal advice. Okay, so once again, they're saying, well, it must be the white man's fault here. It must be the lawyer's fault. He's not explaining it to them properly, that if they get found guilty, they're going to go to prison. And this has been brought up, that they are far more likely to plead not guilty, even when it's extremely obvious that they are guilty. They will say they're not guilty, and they don't understand why that is. And I think the reason for that is that they just think that, you know, they don't understand all of this because they have a low IQ. They don't understand how it all works, and they think that you know, that they might have some luck and they might be found not guilty. I think they really do. They just look at it as either it's good luck you're going to get, or it's bad luck you're going to get. And there was one couple I talked about a while back, and they obviously didn't understand this, and they'd got a witch doctor in, and they had all these charms in the freezer with the names of the social workers and the names of the solicitors, and they were putting this juju witchcraft on the trial rather than actually engaging with it and trying to prove their innocence, or instead of thinking, well, actually, we'll probably get less of a sentence if we plead guilty. They had more of a belief in superstition. And when you think about it, our legal system must appear like some kind of superstition to them. I mean, they don't understand it. When you think about these big cases that happened in America, like Trayvon Martin, the shooting of Trayvon Martin, obviously that was a rightful shooting, and Zimmerman was defending himself, but the blacks didn't see it that way. Even though they had gone through a trial, a highly publicized trial, it was shown that Trayvon was in the wrong. They rioted about this. They said, well, this can't be right. This can't be right. This white guy shot a black guy, even though he wasn't white. And they rioted over it, even though they'd just been shown that he was guilty and the guy was acting in self-defense. And that shows you that they don't understand the way that the legal system works. They just perceive that they've been hurt and they need some kind of redress, and it's always the white man that's hurting them, according to them. It says behind the story, 2 years after the Labour MP David Lammy produced a critical review of the outcomes for black, Asian and minority ethnic individuals in the justice system, official figures show for the first time that more black and minority ethnic under 18s are in custody than whites. His review found no one factor to explain the disproportionate representation, but he said that without change, they would become the next generation of adult offenders. A Ministry of Justice analysis suggested the higher proportion in custody was likely to be driven by more black young people being arrested rather than being diverted from the formal justice system. Why are more young black people being arrested? Because more young black people are committing crimes. The police don't just arrest people for no reason. They only arrest people if they have a suspicion that they have just carried out a crime. So what are they saying here? Are they saying that the police are incompetent? Police just keep going out and arresting these innocent blacks? Well, they're not innocent because they're found guilty and they go to prison. So it's not like it's been a wrongful arrest, is it? The latest figure may also be linked to the police reacting to pressure as knife crime reaches record levels and making greater use of stop and search powers. Those powers are disproportionately used against black and minority ethnic groups. Yes, and once again, if the police have stopped and searched a young black man and he hasn't got a knife on him and he hasn't got drugs on him, then he's innocent and he's let go. He's not sent to prison, is he? And these figures that they're talking about here are the figures for the ones that have been sent to prison. So obviously it wasn't a wrongful stop and search if the young black male ended up in the criminal justice system, was it? It was a stop and search with reasonable grounds for doing so. This is the problem here. Our police are having their hands tied behind their backs. They're being told that they're racist if they actually go after these criminals and they happen to be black. And we've just got this big crime wave that we can't deal with. And instead of pointing out the real reasons for it, black criminality and a low IQ, and just accept the fact that they are more prone to criminal acts than white people. Until we can accept that, we're just going to keep wasting all our resources on trying to turn them into something that they're not. And obviously, the best way to solve this problem is just to separate. Just to separate. White people would no longer be victims of black crime. You'd no longer have these white lads being stabbed while they're waiting at the bus stop. And these blacks, there'd no longer be any more racism, would there? They would no longer be able to say the evil white man is holding them down because they would just have black police and they'd just be in their own black areas. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? That is the common sense solution to all of these problems that stem from diversity. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at Radio.